This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
I planned each charted course, each careful step along the byway, and more, much more than this.
He's not quite dead.
You wouldn't know it, though.
Every time I look up on Channel 9, I see the well-meaning graphic, help us say farewell to Mark Sapelsa. Oh, that's a good-looking corpse, man. He's not dead yet.
I love how they're reading every night the hashtag farewell Sapelsas. And my favorite one was yesterday, not to put you on the spot, Mark, when they said, now there's going to be no more hunks delivering the news in Chicago.
Hey. Wow, and that includes Grzanich.
That's
Steve,
I
don't know if you're offended by that.
Oh, they meant that. TV. They meant
TV. I know. 708 Texter, we need more journalists like Mark, not less. Selfishly, I hope you get really bored, Mark. Congrats. You're going to be missed.
Thank you.
All right, so let's back this up for a second. All right. And Pat Brady's here. We just had an emotional moment where Pat gave Mark a check for $100 million.
I'm going to frame it.
$100 million.
Next generation.
Yeah. The amazing thing is he's got it.
I know.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah. He's got it.
That's what I know.
That's
about
why
it.
I'm here at 7 in the morning.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so let's back this up. You made this decision probably 3 or 4 years ago.
Yes, you are correct.
And you were targeting now, or you were targeting even before now?
No, now, because my contract, you know, I was going to fulfill my contract, you know, to the end. I was enjoying what I was doing.
Right.
You know, 3 or 4 years ago when my wife and I really discussed it seriously, wait a minute, see, the kids are going to graduate from college. Let's see if they have a job, and they're off our dime, and we can afford this. So we were doing all the math and all the calendar stuff. I was having a good time. In fact, you know, she said to me, this is a completely different subject, but when I went to treatment for alcohol 5.5 years ago, she said, maybe it's time to retire. Lower your stress. I said, no, that's the last thing I need. I need to keep myself busy.
Exactly, yeah.
And so I was enjoying it. I really am. And I still am enjoying it. But we did have a target, and I've had a goal. I've had a goal since Minneapolis days when I met you 31 years
ago.
Yeah,
but that's the funny thing is, I've known you for 30 years. We never talked about this.
No, but it was in the back of my head that, okay. Because, you know, remember, We bought our Montana cabin in like 1994.
That's Mark and I. We bought our Montana cabin.
The two of us.
Yes.
And
by the way, it's not a cabin. I've seen the pictures. It's a very nice home.
No, it's a cedar house, but trust me, it's more garage than house.
Okay.
It's more deck than house.
Okay.
Really. So if you and Pat Brady take the drive out there, and you're in our little nook where you're going.
Oh, we're bringing Edelstein, too.
Okay,
Edelstein's
great.
Coming. Yeah, Andrea's
Thelma
coming.
Thelma Louise.
Dave
and
can't
us.
Come. He's got a game.
We'll need. That's he true. Always has
I'm
a
in.
Game.
Yes.
I'll be laying on the deck.
There's not a lot of room for all five of you, so we'll have to pitch a tent. So anyway, so when we bought that, I said.
And that's 94.
94. I said, someday we're going to move here, and someday sooner than later, we're going to move here.
But here's the thing. Everybody says this. You know, you ought to be able to get out of the top of your game. You've never been better. You've never been better. Mm-hmm. People are throwing awards at you every time you do a story. You've got this investigative news team, which kicks ass on all the other channels in town. Channel 9 has a great general manager in Paul Rennie.
Yes.
And you are on top of your game.
Yeah.
So I said this to you privately. Let me say it to you publicly.
Okay.
You're going to miss it. You're going to miss it. You're going to be sitting out in Montana, and the first time... When the Donald Trump impeachment finally kicks in, you're going to be going, somebody give me a camera.
No, he'll be Skyping. You'll be the expert Skyping from the deck.
Are you going to miss it?
I'll miss some parts of it. Yeah. I definitely will miss some parts of it. I'll miss the game. I'll miss the chase. I'll miss the people. But I'm ready.
You're done.
Because I've been thinking about this for a long time.
How about the makeup?
You know, I'm going to take it with me.
Are you going to have a makeup guy on hand in Montana?
There's no makeup guy at WGN. Yeah. It's
no,
me.
That's right.
Ask Dave Bennett.
Yes, I can vouch for that.
You all have your drawers.
We have a drawer.
Right.
Right.
So I'll be bringing that with me.
You'll get shot in Montana.
I know I would. Yeah.
When did you tell your old friend Ron Majors you were doing this?
The text was literally, well, if you're happy, I'm happy for you. Are you sure?
But the reason everybody's asking you this, from your friends to viewers and everybody, is because they see what we all see. And you go, well, why would you leave now? You're on top of your game. But you made this as a lifestyle choice.
Yeah, I really did. And in all seriousness, I think I know I'm not a type A workaholic, but I am one speed.
Yeah.
And the one speed has gotten me into trouble. You know, that's why I went to Hazelden. Because when you're one speed, sometimes you need to decompress, and so I had to find new ways to decompress and de-stress. And I have. But part of that whole lifestyle thing was, even this week I should be kicking back and kind of like, okay, let's talk about how fun this has been. And it's been a great time. But there's a lot to do. I'm always in that a lot to do. And so when I put that a lot to do away, I'm kind of one of those guys that is, like I've been saying, boringly industrious. I can while away the hours of a day like nobody can. Including if I've got no deadline, no clock, no this, I could take like 7 ventis and read every paper, every this, every that. I'm gonna take a nap. Now I'm gonna get up and then.
If you had 7 ventis, you're not taking a nap.
Trust me. Trust me. I've learned how to do that too. So I really I've got a lot of things I'd like to do that are not dramatic big things.
You gonna write a book?
No. I'll write some things, and I wouldn't mind talking about how young television broadcasters don't do a few things right. The mistakes that I made, I'd like to say to them, hey, try this and this and this. It might help
you. How to get in and how to do it this way.
Yeah, and also, you know, negotiating contracts. I mean, I know it's boring and nobody wants to talk about that, but we don't negotiate our own contracts very well.
No.
We basically say, well, they were really good to me this year, so I'll take it.
Well,
that's baloney.
There's a very weird thing that goes on, right? I mean, you have to have a massive ego to think that you could sit here or sit on TV and that people care what you're saying or what you're thinking. At the same time, you're incredibly fragile and have been a little snowflake.
Right.
And you just say the last thing you want to do is upset the boss.
Right. And so what you do is you hire.
Or more importantly, I mean, more truthfully, that's not true. What's more truthful is you don't want to have the boss tell you you're not worth what you think you are.
Yes, exactly right. That's why you hire a bug shield.
Yes.
And you hire a good one. You don't hire one from New York who says, okay, kid, I'm going to get you. And then he calls the boss and says, how about if I get you 3%?
Steve Mandel would be the bug shield in one of these scenarios.
Bug shield, yes. AKA agent. Yes.
Second thing is we always act like we're rich. Mm-hmm. And we're not. Mm-hmm. In other words, I'm a burgeoning reporter from Minneapolis, and I get an offer double what I was making in Minneapolis and Chicago. Mm-hmm. And you come here, and you immediately go to the BMW, and God bless them, I love those cars, and put down a massive amount of money for a lease, and you'd pull into your parking lot. I'm the new reporter in town, dude. Live like the millionaire next door, mm-hmm. And I see way too much of it in newsrooms. So I'd like to go to the Poynter Institute. I'd like to go to one of those reporter conventions and say, I've got two things I want to talk to you about, negotiating your contract better, and then live like you're not a millionaire, because you're not a millionaire, and you might be able to quit on your own. You might have more you-know-what money if the boss ever comes to you and says, you know what, you're not that good anymore.
Well, but here's the thing. I think those are both really important, but I think your skills, it's also really important that you keep telling stories. So have you thought at all about doing projects, doing things for video, doing podcasts, any of that stuff?
Not really.
Videocasts?
Not yet. I'm too fresh on the idea of unplug. Maybe. But I really want to unplug. Twitter, Facebook, I'm turning it off. I will watch. I will look. I'll read. But I'm not going to jump in.
Brian writes, I'm listening in Great Falls, Montana. Didn't know you were here. Welcome. Where are you headed?
Yes!
Are you in Great Falls?
No. He's more in the upper middle of the state. Montana. Think of Montana as a gigantic kind of rectangle. And we're northwest, so I'm about 30 miles south of Glacier. Great Falls would be like in the middle, north central-ish.
And are you going to live year-round?
Yeah. Candace, my lovely wife, will...
She's the best. You know, I've always liked her better than you.
Yep.
You've told me that.
Yeah. You've told her that. Mm-hmm. She has said mid-January, because she likes to cross-country ski. I love to downhill. I already have my season pass for the year. Yeah.
Cool.
And I like to cross-country as well. So she likes some of the winter months, but she said about January 20th, we're out of here. So she would like to Airbnb it somewhere for a month or a month and a half, somewhere that we've
so
not.
Funny, Airbnb. Now he's on a fixed income. I got to go Airbnb it.
Oh, no, there's going to be no Four Seasons. Trust me. when you do this.
You got to make sure you know what you're doing.
I am on a fixed income. So,
as a matter of fact, speaking of fixed income, how many times do we hear Spike Odell use that term? And here's a texter. Actually, this is a Facebook chime in or Twitter, one of the two. First Spike, now Mark. Appreciate our Chicagoans who show us there is life after work. Enjoy it.
Well, thank you. Isn't that nice? Thank you very much. And you know what? I'm telling you, I don't want to get syrupy maudlin, but viewers and listeners, thank you. You know, I've been taught, there's way too much out there about me. You're like, oh, congratulations, oh, this, oh, you know, good luck. No, no, thank you, and I it's been a privilege to talk to, serve, and report to you, the listener, and you, the viewer. Thank you.
It's nice. 722, Traffic and More with Mark. Eric Edelstein's here. Going to talk about some politics here in a second, something you've covered in this town since the second you got here.
Yes.
Well, you know what? You got to tell a story about the first time that you met Obama, or Obama met
yep.
you when he chased you across
yep.
the parking lot.
Yep, I blew him off.
It's 722. Let's do traffic. Mary?
The media is fake. In the meantime, I'm here. It's sort of amazing. So I'm here, and I sometimes ask myself, how did I ever get here with the horrible, unfair publicity? And I don't mind. Look, if it's fair, if I do something wrong, treat me badly. But when we're doing good, it should be fair. The media is really the word, I think one of the greatest of all terms I've come up with is fake. I guess other people have used it perhaps over the years, but I've never noticed it. And it's a shame. And they really hurt the country because they take away the spirit of the country.
Yeah, no one's ever used the word fake, ever, in any context. If there's one thing that Donald Trump has done successfully, it's create this image that news people make up stories. It's absolutely preposterous. And the sources that he believes most are, in fact, fake news. So, Mark Sapelsa, before you leave town, is there anything that's been more aggravating than this?
No. No, he did to us, which would be the mainstream, hardworking journalists of America. And I, you know, in this day and age, mainstream, it's a good thing.
Yeah.
We have worked hard for centuries, and in this country for maybe a century and a half, because before that it was really yellow journalism. But he did to us what he did to Jeb Bush, what he did to little Marco. He was brilliant in throwing us under the bus and making us stay under the bus, squishing us with the bus tires in some segments of this country. And it worked. What he said, and you know what? He didn't make up the word fake, but I will say before him, fake news was not a phrase that I even thought about, or it wasn't in our lexicon. Now it is because of him. He's flat out wrong. I believe he's despicable when he says this stuff.
Completely dishonest.
Yep, it's completely dishonest. And some of the stuff, he loves Sean Hannity. Sean Hannity is despicable. Pizzagate, Obama birther movement, Roy Moore consensual. I could go on and on about Sean Hannity. And I don't care if right now your phones light up with, what, Sapelsa's got an opinion about Sean? I do. I think he's a big jerk. I've worked with him. I've been at a convention in 2000 where he walked into the lunchroom where we all had to eat, and it was like frat time when Sean Hannity walked in. Bill O'Reilly was cool.
He's a fraud.
Al Colmes was great. I like a lot of the guys over at Fox News. I really did. I really. Brett Baer was a great man. I really loved him. Love working with him or watching him work.
Sure.
Hannity was a jerk, an idiot,
right.
A dumb, you know what?
Right.
A former house painter who
right.
called into radio shows and got a job.
Well, he stole Rush Limbaugh's act.
And now that's who President Trump looks at and identifies as the truth teller in this country.
And the Fox.
That's all you need to know.
And the Fox Morning News, which is literally
yep.
4 hours of press release.
Sycophant.
From him.
Right.
Fox News has never been more biased. Outside of Shepard Smith, Fox News has never been more biased. And the amazing thing is when
like
we get texts, and there's texts coming in now. We get texts from people going, he's right, the news is fake.
No, it's not.
The people that believe this, that's what hurts the most.
That's right.
Because if you buy that and you're consuming Breitbart News, there's nothing more biased in this country than
no.
Breitbart News.
No.
And Steve Bannon.
Breitbart did one thing right. It exposed Anthony Weiner.
Right.
It did. It was fantastic.
Absolutely.
Completely agree. You caught a person who needed some serious help.
So the problem is, and this is why.
But that's it.
This is why the founding fathers saw it to be so important. When we left England, because we wanted to have a free and democratic society, the brilliance of the Constitution, the way it was crafted, was, hey, we may not like what the writers of these newspapers and these pamphlets and these village things are town to town, mm-hmm. but they have to say it. Because someone has to keep an eye on the people in power. when you blanketly paint the most powerful news organizations in the world as frauds,
right.
then nobody believes it when you're telling the true story. And the risk you run is that some lunatic leader will amass such great power that you will lose all your freedoms.
You mean Vladimir Putin?
Or Donald Trump.
The point is, we make mistakes. We in the mainstream media, we the hardworking journalists do make mistakes. And hello, Brian Ross. Own up to it, suspend him,
right.
whatever. You know,
immediately.
Whatever. Immediately. It's fine. We all make mistakes, and we should make corrections right away. That's not fake news. That's a mistake.
Right.
And that's the line of delineation that he has clouded in a large segment of the population, which is a real shame, because if not for the media, you are correct. You would have the Vladimir Putins of the world in which journalists would be shot. There would be nobody running against
Erdogan
Donald Trump
from Turkey. Same thing.
On and on and on.
It's never been more important. It's never been more important to stress. And that's one of the reasons I'll miss you, pal, because you're one of the greats. And I don't know who's going to stand in and you know carry that that burden.
Well, your hyperbole is honorable. Thank you. I'm not great. I put my head down and go to work. I'm not Ron Majors. I'm not Floyd Calber. I'm just me, and try to do the best I possibly can.
But you got into this, and you believed in it, and you'll believe in it through tomorrow night
right.
and beyond.
Right.
Because you believe you should get two sources for every story.
That's right.
You believe in the tenets and the ethics of being a journalist, and you believe it's important because you know it is.
That's right.
As a journalist, you are remarkable. You are the consummate professional. You really are. And
well,
this.
No, yes, no, you're right.
Absolutely is. And I just want to say this for what you just said.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Eric and Pat, would you like to say anything fawning about Mark before your kickoff?
I never really cared for Mark. Seriously, I watch Channel 5.
Say again? Who's this guy? How do you spell his name?
S-U-double-P.
Hey, he let me take the camera, though, at the convention. He let me do a monkey cam and roam around.
That's nice.
Is that where you were?
Every once in a while, you got to get creative, and they wouldn't let us on the floor.
Right.
We only had so many passes, yeah. And I said, Pat, come here. I'm going to give you a camera. And he said, really? Sure. I said, yes.
Yeah.
Turn it loose. Go down there and right. get whatever you can.
It was monkey cam.
It was great.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
Did people get sick watching your...
like Blair Witch.
Well, I got a close up of the Trump brothers.
Yes,
and then there was a fight up, and the thing it was funny. Let me carry it around the whole place. I'm getting Roskam on. I'm like,
it was fantastic.
Yeah, it was fun.
We got scoops galore, which we had to attribute to Pat Brady. But.
we got 60 seconds. Governor's race goes where from here? Because Pritzker says he's not going to debate anymore.
Well, he'll do some, but you know he's been under siege this week for kind of hiding income, only reporting $15 million, not saying the source of his trust. There seems to be an argument against him that sort of a tax avoider, somebody who has as much money as he does, mm-hmm. pulling out the toilets and the mansion, and now this sort of offshore trust thing. So, you know, look, he's spent a lot of money. He's built up his name ID. I think the next 2.5-3 months are going to be really interesting. I always say in these elections, a funny thing happens when the voters get involved.
Man.
And so I think a lot of surprising things, as we've learned, in good ways and bad ways can happen. So it's a long way to March.
And Governor Rauner, anything new there?
No, they're full steam ahead in the campaign. I agree. J.B. Pritzker had a really rough week. And you can't – one thing I believe anyway that voters don't like is a hypocrite. And he tries this man-of-the-people routine when he's not paying taxes. Mm-hmm. And he said all very frank about it. He's going to raise taxes here if he's governor. So I think he's got some problems. But I tell you who I'd like to watch, our Attorney General nominee, Erica Harold, former Miss USA Harvard law grad. Very impressive, and I think she's actually doing a very nice job, so this will be interesting.
Attorney General's race will be just as interesting as the governor's race.
Yeah. What a crowded field. I don't remember that many candidates ever running for attorney.
Yeah, and for us, a Republican, have an African-American female under 100, that's a big deal for Republicans. You know?
Yeah. Right?
That's a fair point. Thank you, gentlemen. Mark's going to hang around. We'll come back. 720 WGN.